Today's sermon will be from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 6 to 18. And I'd now like to invite Jessica up to the front to read the Bible for us, from which the sermon is going to be based. Thank you, Jessica.
Today's Bible reading comes from Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 18. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 18. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yes, you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. This is the word of God.
Let's pray together as we prepare to hear what the Word of God has to say. Father, as we reflect upon this passage and other passages in your Word, we pray that our eyes will be opened, our understanding will be enlightened, and that we might hear very clearly, Lord, what it is that you are saying to us this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. We pray that he will be the one who gives us discernment and understanding. And we pray that we might apply your word to our hearts and lives this day. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor John has asked me to preach on perhaps the most unpopular theme that any preacher could ever be asked to preach upon. And that is the theme of money. How to know the will of God in regards to money. Although this may be a very unpopular theme, nevertheless, it is a very common theme which runs right throughout the Bible. The Bible has a great deal to say about money. It's interesting that Jesus preached more about money than he did about any other subject. Indeed, it has been calculated that about one-fifth of the teaching of Jesus related in some way or another to money. Almost one-half, in fact, 16 out of the 38 parables of Jesus had money as their theme. In the four Gospels alone, one in every 10 verses. In fact, 288 verses deal with the theme of money. It is estimated that whereas there are about 500 verses which relate to prayer, and slightly less than 500 verses which relate to faith, there are more than 2,000 verses which relate to money. So, it's a very, very, very common theme right through the Bible. There are three basic truths which the Bible presents to us about money. The first is that God is the creator and the maker of all things. The second is that God is the owner and the possessor of all things. The third is that we are but the stewards or the trustees or the caretakers of what God has entrusted to our care. And so, in relation to money, it is not so much how much of my money am I going to give to God, but how much of God's money am I going to withhold and keep back to spend on myself. Let's remember, nothing really belongs to us. We are not the owners. We are not the possessors. We are but the stewards or caretakers of what God has entrusted to our care. Now, one of the ways in which we can demonstrate that we are responsible stewards of what God has entrusted to our care is by tithing. That is, by setting apart one-tenth of our income and by using it exclusively in the service of the Lord. The tithe literally means one-tenth. The tithe belongs to God. The tithe is not ours to keep. The tithe is ours to pay. Did you notice Malachi 3:10 in our reading this morning? Very, very key verse where God says, let me read it to you again, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, the Bible has a great deal to say about tithing, the giving of one-tenth to God. Among other things, the Bible says that God commenced it, Abraham continued it, Moses confirmed it, Malachi commanded it, and Jesus commended it. First of all, let's look at these 5 points. First of all, God commenced it. Now, we have no specific record as to just when or where or how God commenced it. But right from the very beginning of time, we find that the giving of an offering in proportion to one's means was entrenched in the history of the human race. For example, way back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, we read where Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil and presented these as an offering to the Lord. Likewise, we read in Genesis 4 that Abel brought the fat portions of some of the firstborn of his flock, and he presented these unto the Lord. Now, we may well ask, from whom did Cain and Abel learn to do this? And we can only but presume to answer, from their parents, Adam and Eve. So we ask the next question, well, from whom did Adam and Eve learn this? And we can only but answer, from God himself. You see, right from the very beginning, right from the very beginning of Genesis, God established the principle that a proportion of all that we own, of all that we earn, of all that we possess, a proportion is to be set apart and given to God as a sacrificial offering. Well, if God commenced this, we can certainly say that Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, continued this principle. In Genesis chapter 14, we read where Abraham had fought and defeated four of the wealthy kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. On his return from the field of battle, Abraham was met by Melchizedek, the king of Jerusalem. And in recognition of the fact that Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God, Abraham gave to him a tithe. Interesting. He gave to Melchizedek one-tenth of all of the booty that he had taken on the field of battle. Now, we read that in Genesis 14, verse 20. Abraham gave to him a tenth of everything he possessed. Again, we ask the question, well, where did Abraham learn to do this? From whom did he learn to do this? And again, we can only but answer, from God himself. Later, in Genesis 28, we read about Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And in Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22, let me read these verses. Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Again, we ask the question, well, from whom did Jacob learn this? And we can only but say, from his grandfather Abraham. And from whom did Abraham learn this? From God. God commenced it. Abraham continued it. And then thirdly, Moses confirmed it in the law. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, we read these words, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil, or fruit from the trees, or flocks from the herds, a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." And again in Deuteronomy 14:22, this confirmation is repeated. "Be sure to set aside a tenth of all of your fields that they produce each year unto the Lord." You see, under the law, every Jew was obligated to set aside a tithe or a tenth of everything that he produced. The tithe was not a gift. The tithe was a debt. The tithe belonged to God. The tithe was not an option. The tithe was an obligation. Under the law, the Jews were obligated to give the tithe. In fact, a typical Jew gave far more than one-tenth. It has been estimated that a typical Jew gave up to 23% of his possessions to God in a temple tithe, a festival tithe, a welfare tithe, the ordinary tithe. It all mounted up 23%. God commenced it. Abraham continued it. Moses confirmed it. And then fourthly, as we have seen this morning, Malachi the prophet commanded it. Let's turn again to Malachi chapter 3, to our reading for this morning. In verse 8, the question is asked, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and in offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it." It's interesting, isn't it? Malachi says that to withhold the tithe, to hold back the giving of the one-tenth of our income, is tantamount to robbing God. You see, the tithe belongs to God. The tithe is not something that we give. The tithe is something that we pay. And if we don't pay our tithe, we are robbing God. And this passage says we are really placing ourselves under a curse by holding on to that which is not ours to hold on to. The tithe belongs to God. God commenced it. Abraham continued it. Moses confirmed it. Malachi commanded it. And then fifthly, Jesus commended it. We go over to Matthew chapter 23. Very solemn passage in which Jesus is pronouncing a series of woes upon the Pharisees of his day. And in verse 23 he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Without neglecting the former. By the former, Jesus is referring to the principle of tithing. Jesus is commending the principle, not in the very narrow legalistic way in which the Pharisees interpreted. We must not become so legalistic that we tithe spices and garden herbs and all those little nitty itty bitties and neglect the weightier matters of justice, mercy, and faith. But I want you to notice that Jesus said we must not stop at the tithe. The tithe is only the beginning. The tithe is, as it were, our trainer wheels. Do you know what trainer wheels are? Those of you who have had children will know what they are when you're teaching somebody to ride a bike or a scooter. You give them trainer wheels to help them to start. Trainer wheels are very valuable in helping us to start. They wouldn't be much help if you were riding the Tour de France and had trainer wheels on your bike. You see, the tithe is not a ceiling to stop at. The tithe is a basement to start from. Jesus went on to say that all that we have and all that we are is to be given back to God. Not just a tithe, not just one tenth, but everything. In Luke 14:33, Jesus said, "Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." In Luke 18:22, he said to the rich young ruler, "Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." You see, the emphasis of Jesus is not just on the one-tenth, not just the tithe, but Jesus is demanding all. Likewise, the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says that we are to offer the whole of our bodies, not just a part, not just a tenth, but the whole of our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. It's not just the tithe that belongs to God. It's not just 10% of me that belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. It's his. The tithe represents the bare minimum. It represents the basement, not the ceiling. Some people get very offended about this. And perhaps you are feeling a bit offended this morning that I'm actually preaching on this theme. But when you stop and think about it, you know, God is really being wonderfully generous, isn't he? in seeking from us the tithe. Usually in any business enterprise where a partnership is involved, the profits usually are split on a 50-50 basis if there are two partners. If it is that one partner owns the land, then 50% of the profits would go to that partner and the other 50% would go to the partner who farms the land. But in the case of tithing, God owns all the land. God owns the soil. God owns the seed. God owns the sun. God owns the rain. God owns everything that is needed to make the land produce. But he says, instead of sharing everything on a 50-50 basis, all that I require is 10%. The 10% is mine. It's untouchable. You can have the discretion over the use of the remaining 90%. The tithe belongs to God. The tithe should represent the first fruits of our giving. In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 we read, "Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine." We are to honour God with the first fruits. When you receive your pay packet, when you receive your pocket money, 10% becomes the first fruits that is taken out and given to God. And I just want to say this to you, if you do that, if you honour God with the first fruits of your income, I believe that you will be able to do far more with the remaining 90% than if you had kept the whole 100% to spend on yourself. That's what God says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me. That's what God is saying. Test me. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. That's a promise from God. Let me just share with you a story, a true story. Many stories, many, many stories could be told. Let me tell you the story of a young man. When he was 16 years of age, he had to leave home because his father was too poor to support him. As he trudged along the street, he met an older friend who gave to him this advice. He said, "William, someday someone, somewhere will become a leading soap maker here in New York City. That someone may as well be you. William, insofar as you at least know how to make soap, I hope that that someone will be you. Be a good lad, give your heart to the Lord, pay to the Lord all that belongs to him of every dollar you earn, and I am sure one day you will become rich and famous." Well, the young man heeded the older man's advice. From the first dollar he earned, he gave a tithe to the Lord. As time went by, he was able to move into a business of his own. And as he did so, he instructed his accountant to open a separate account in the name of the Lord so that one-tenth of all of his earnings could be paid into that account. His business grew, his soap sold. He became richer and richer. In time, he gave 2/10. Then he gave 3/10. Then he gave 4/10. Then he gave 5/10. The more he gave, the more his business prospered. Throughout his lifetime, he gave millions and millions of dollars to the work of the Lord. And at his death, he left behind a name and a product which is known all over the world today. And you probably used it this morning. I did, at least. His name was William Colgate, the maker of Colgate soap and Colgate toothpaste. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and prove me now, says the Lord of hosts. Put me to the test. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. My challenge to you today is that you will take God at his word. Prove him. Test. Resolve this morning that you are going to set aside as the first fruits 1/10. It's not really yours to give. It's yours to pay. It belongs to God. Set it aside and see what God will do. There's a little poem that says, "Go," said the angel, "go give to the Lord what is rightfully his. For giving is living," the angel said. "But must I be giving again and again?" "Oh no," said the angel, piercing me through. "Just give till the master stops giving to you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word concerning money. We know that it is not a popular theme. In fact, it's a theme that can make people very angry. And yet, we know that your word has so much to say and so much to teach. And so, Lord, as we have just looked at some of the verses, and as we have looked at this principle which you yourself have laid down right from the very beginning of time, we pray that we might respond to what we have heard and that we might resolve in our hearts to give what belongs to you. And we pray, Lord, that by giving the tithe, we will also give of ourselves, that all that we have and all that we are, all that we ever hope to be, we pray that we might lay it upon the altar as a living sacrifice to be used to bring honor and glory to your name. And we ask and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're going to sing a song in response to that sermon, 10,000 Reasons. When we sing 10,000 Reasons, we don't say, you know, God bless or bless you. We're saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. We're not asking God for blessings. We're giving God what he deserves, and that's everything good that we receive that belongs to the Lord. So why don't we stand and sing our 10,000 Reasons.
Thank you, Ben. Good afternoon. My name is Pastor John, and I'm the pastor for this English congregation. If you're new amongst us, let me say welcome. We are glad that you could join us, and yeah, we hope that you can come back again. I think there might be one or two new people, so if you can give us a wave. I think Chris's friend is here. Welcome. Glad you could join us. And I think there are one or two of you who are visiting as well. You all are studying or working in other places and back. So glad you could come back to church. Just some things to highlight that would be of interest and relevant to you all. The next slide. Huh. Interesting. Is there another slide, like for the 21st of July? Or maybe not? Okay, let me just go off my notes and y'all can just look at me. Okay. I'm not sure if anyone watched The Bible. It's on Channel 9 on Tuesday. It started just on Tuesday. Anyone watched it on Tuesday? Okay. How was it? Good? Pretty good? Okay. So it's going on Channel 9. It's not every week that I say, please go home and watch TV. So if you're interested, it's got the Bible from Genesis to Revelation on Tuesdays, Channel 9. So yeah, something that you could chat with your friends about and enjoy. Next week, we have EC corporate prayer at the Golden Garden restaurant at 9:30 to 10:45. So if you are able to join us, so not LYCH, but anyone older, do join us for prayer. When we work, we get what human effort can produce. But when we pray, we get what only God can do. And ministry is only what God can do, isn't it? So come along and bring your requests and things that are on your heart to pray to God. So next Sunday, 9:30 to 10:45 at Golden Garden is our prayer together. The next thing, we are doing our series at the moment, Knowing God's Will. So we started off with how to make good decisions. Then we went on to look at God's will for our lives is that we become in our character more like Jesus. Then this week we've looked at money, God's will for our money. Next week we will look at God's will in terms of our purity, and the following week on God's will in terms of serving. This year the church is 20 years old, and so we've got our various things that are happening for the 20th anniversary celebration. There's some meals that you could sign up for. I think Saturday there's a lunch and there are two dinners on Sunday. So you serve for one meal and then you sit down and enjoy the other meal. So if you've got the forms last week and you'd like to hand them in, I believe Joanne is collecting them. And so, yeah, Joanne, if you give a bit of a wave so you can see Joanne and hand in the forms and the payment to her. Thank you, Joanne, for that. Yeah. Okay, I'll just invite Kirsten up for an announcement. In the meantime, rise rarely. If you'd like to go with the others and you haven't signed up, it's not too late. See Diana and Emma. It's $25. Okay. So after Kirsten finishes the announcement, I'll just call Uncle Eric to come up.
Morning, church. My name's Kirsten. And I was just wondering if I could get you 12 people to put their hands up. So if you're in your 12, put your hands up. Do we have any girls? Just guys. Got one. Cool. Anyways. So, I'm helping out with Rice this year, and Rice is holding a study camp. Back when I was in year 12, which was like 3 years ago, a older sister in our congregation actually really pushed me to go to study camp. She was like, I'll pay for you if you can't, you know, afford it. And back when I went, it was like a bit over $350 for 5 days. Rice is holding one this year, 5 days. It's in KCC, which is where they hold KIC. And it's only $180. I'm going to be there not as a leader, but as the head chef. So why do I think study camp is a good thing? It was where I got the majority of my study done. I think without Rice study without study camp, I probably wouldn't have done as well. I had a solid 6 to 8 hours a day, so 6 hours compulsory, and then I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and studied for an extra 2 hours as well. And that's for 5 days. And what was really great was the leader-student ratio is actually quite small. Is that right? I'm really bad at math. So there are heaps of leaders for students. And I got, I remember there was this one, like, one time I was struggling with math, as I do, and this leader sat there with me for, like, over an hour trying to explain this one question to me. It had to do with time. And it was just really valuable. Another reason why it's great is because there are speakers there. So during the week, they have talks, and it was a good... Yeah, it was a good time to hear from God's word, to be reminded of His will for my life, beyond HSC. And also a great time to be, looked after by older Christians. So if you're interested, I've got these cards, and on the back there's the website, and it will tell you how you can register. A great thing... with registering with this camp is that you also get, if you do it before Rice Rally, you actually also get a free Rice Rally ticket. It's okay if you've already bought one, but if you go to this camp, what they want to do is they want to hold a special special event for you before Rice Rally. So that's that. If you're in year 12, I'd love to... I'll probably give these to your leaders, actually. They can give it to you. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm Eric. First of all, I apologize for today's technical glitches. The slide seems not working. Okay, it's not Ophelia's fault. It's my fault. Yeah. Okay, and but a fact is coming. Next Sunday after service, there will be a training for all the PowerPoint operators. So please just stay behind for 20 minutes to half an hour. I think 20 minutes should be enough. Yeah. Okay. And they will fix all problems. And also for song leaders, we would like you to be there as well because we changed. We are not using PowerPoint anymore. And therefore, when you prepare the lyrics, it's not PowerPoint but a new software that we need you to prepare at home. And if for each of the bands, if you have, if not band leader, but anyone else who prepared the PowerPoints for you before, please do come for the training, okay? Just stay behind after the Sunday service for, Sean say 15 minutes, I would suggest half an hour. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, the service is about to come to a close. I'd like to thank all those who gave up themselves to serve in this morning. And brothers and sisters, we'll first have Reverend Webb to come up to give the benediction, and then Grace will play the piano, and during this time, take the opportunity to have a quiet prayer. And afterwards, please stay to have fellowship with each other. I'd like to invite Reverend Webb. Thank you.
Can you all stand, please?
Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for our time together today. And help us now as we go into this new week, May we be conscious of the fact that Jesus is with us every moment of every day. May your love, may the grace of Jesus, may the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit be with us today and always. Amen. Please be seated.
Blessed week.